good. Mm-hmm. Be opening your Bibles to Matthew chapter 28. Matthew chapter 28. Frank, thank you for helping me with this lesson. You'll understand in just a moment. It's not about you.
Thank you, brother. I don't deserve it.
Oh yes. The lesson this morning is about authority. And I'll tell you where Frank comes I'll go ahead and tell you now. In Titus chapter 2, verse 15, you remember Friday night you read verse 15. I read verses 11 through 14, and then a little bit later you went ahead and read verse 15, which in part says, encourage and rebuke with all authority. Mm-hmm. The lesson this morning is about authority. And that word, I looked it up, that word authority in Titus 2:15 has to do with, I think, the giving of a command or order or something like that, somewhat like a police officer would give. So you help me. Now, in Matthew chapter 28, let me read these verses to you. I'll start in verse 16. 16 through 20, Matthew 28. Then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. Then Jesus came to them and said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them into the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you, and surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. You'll notice here in verse 18, Jesus says, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. And what he's talking about there when he uses that word authority, he's talking about power. He has that power, he has that authority. Or it has been given to him by God himself. And then you might also notice in verse 20, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. So it's interesting. As a matter of fact, if you think about it from the standpoint of authority that Jesus was given by God, and you look at that passage there in Matthew 28, 18 through 20, and then turn over to Acts chapter 2. In Acts chapter 2, the account of Peter and the rest of the apostles standing up and speaking, the information that's given there. Well, in verse 38, Peter replied, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The promise is for you and for your children and for all those who are far off, for all whom the Lord our God will call. And then move down just a little bit to verse 42. In verse 42, it says, they, that is the people who were obeying the message, they devoted themselves to the apostles' doctrine or teaching, that which they had received from Christ. Amen. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching or doctrine and to the fellowship, to breaking of bread, and to prayer. So when you see the statement that was made by Jesus himself concerning the authority that he had from God, and then you see the message that he presented to his apostles, and here go to Acts chapter 2 and see the message that was presented, and what those people who obeyed the message and were baptized did, then you can understand the authority that had been vested in the apostles to deliver a message. Now, let me read you a statement here, and then I'll let you think about it. We have exalted the rights of the individual to the point that we have, I believe, a very skewed view of an aversion to, and an aversion to authority. As a matter of fact, many claim to be Christians and yet refuse the authority of the Scriptures. In fact, we have become hostile to the concept of authority, even the authority of God presented to us in Scripture. So give that some thought. I want to turn our attention right now to Romans chapter 1. We'll look at a number of different passages of Scripture, primarily after we get beyond Romans chapter 1, primarily one passage from the Old Testament and one from the New Testament concerning the business of authority. In Romans chapter 1, I want to read to you from beginning in verse 18, probably down through verse 24. The wrath of God is being revealed from heaven against all the godlessness and wickedness of men who suppress the truth by their wickedness. Since what may be known about God is plain to them, because God has made it plain to them. For since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, His eternal power and divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood from what has been made, so that men are without excuse. For although they knew God, they neither glorified Him as God nor gave thanks to Him, but their thinking became futile, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Although they claimed to be wise, they became fools and exchanged the glory of the immortal God for images made to look like mortal man and birds and animals and reptiles. Now a few thoughts regarding this. Inherent within creation is authority. Little different from what the reading is, but I think you can understand why I chose to read those verses of Scripture. Inherent within creation is authority. This may well be one of the reasons why atheists choose to deny God. Because to do so, if you deny God, then you eliminate any authority that God has. You're free to choose and go your own way and do your own thing, regardless of what God says here concerning the fact that inherent within creation are the attributes and characteristics and nature of God being presented clearly. By virtue of the power of God to create, there is authority in Him. Think about it. If God is not the creator, if things just happened, then there is no power vested in God. There is no God, there is no power vested in God. Man himself becomes his own authority. From the earliest information that you read in the biblical record about mankind, going all the way back to Genesis, authority is had by God. From the earliest record, I'm going all the way back to the beginning, regarding creation, authority is had by God. The biblical record also, as you know, records information about those who chose to refuse to recognize God. Well, just as the information I read to you in Romans chapter 1. If you start reading in Romans chapter 1, verse 18, all the way through the ending of the chapter in verse 32, you'll see, your eyes will be opened concerning the biblical record about people refusing to acknowledge God, refusing to recognize the authority of God. When you look at it and think about it, go all the way back to Cain and Cain's rebellion against God and his murder of his brother. Look at that. Look at Pharaoh's refusal to recognize or acknowledge God. Even Israel herself, at times, refusing to recognize and to acknowledge God and to obey God. You see that God has seen fit to provide us with this information. It enhances or it acknowledges God's authority. It reinforces God's authority. Some were able to see and to experience God's authority in a grand way. When you think about the plagues and read about the plagues that God brought upon Egypt, and you have to delve into it and read it and study it and think about it to understand what God was doing. The plagues upon Egypt, because Pharaoh chose to not recognize the authority that God had. God is our creator, and God has power and authority over his creation. What we know about mankind is this, that man will believe or believe in something. Even if man chooses to deny the power and the authority of God and chooses to deny that God is the creator. Inherent within that belief is authority of some kind or some form. Even if you look at the world and see only chaos, there is some authority, even in chaos. Well, I said that we'd look at two passages of Scripture. Let's go to the Old Testament, Deuteronomy chapter 4. And in Deuteronomy chapter 4, just the first two verses. Deuteronomy chapter 4, verses 1 and 2. Hear now, O Israel, the decrees and laws I am about to teach you. This is Moses speaking to Israel. Follow them so that you may live and go in and take possession of the land the Lord your God, the Lord the God of your fathers, is giving you. Now listen carefully to verse 2. Do not add to what I command you, and do not subtract from it, but keep the commands of the Lord your God that I give you. One of the things that you see in God calling Israel is that God, or God calling Abraham and ultimately Israel, God desires mankind. God desires to have a relationship with us. Some people do indeed strongly desire to have a relationship with God. Hopefully that's the case for all of us. But one thing that we do know is that God desires a relationship with mankind. And when you look at verses 1 and 2 in Deuteronomy chapter 4, you might not readily see that desire, but I think it's there. God chose Israel. Israel was chosen as the people through whom he would reveal salvation for all of mankind, not just Israel. Because Israel was chosen, they bore the responsibility of recognizing God and his authority. So contained in verse 2 is the statement, do not add to what I command you and do not subtract from it, but keep the commandments of the Lord your God that I give you. Again, you may not quite see what I'm getting at here, but I think if you give it some thought, you will. Decrees and laws were given to Israel And they were to be carefully followed because of God's authority. Israel was not at liberty to pick and choose. Israel was not at liberty to decide that, well, you know, Lord, this business of all of these sacrifices is too much of a burden for us. We're going to cut it short. It was important enough that God told Israel not to add to it and not to take away from those commands that had been given. To do so would constitute a denial of God and His authority. Amen. And you might take a look at a couple of other passages, such as Proverbs chapter 30, verse 6, where essentially the same thing is said, and also in Revelation chapter 22, verses 18 and 19, where again, essentially the same thing is said concerning do not add to and do not take away from. The message there is clear. God desires a relationship with mankind, but God desires that relationship on His terms, not ours. Time after time, you can read in the Old Testament where other people had a different idea about a relationship with God. Also, Israel fell prey to that, of doing things their own way. Regardless of how stern this may sound, God does indeed sincerely desire a relationship with us on His terms. That's seen rather clearly in the celebration of the Lord's Supper, the remembering of our Lord and Savior's death on the cross, with the unleavened bread representing His body and the fruit of the vine representing His blood. God desires a relationship with us so much so that He chose to give us His only Son for the remission of our sins. Let's take a look now at a passage in the New Testament. Again, talking about authority. 2 Timothy chapter 3, you'll recognize these verses. 2 Timothy 3, verses 16 and 17. Again, we're talking about God and His authority. On the surface, this passage may not appear to be about authority, but it is. All Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. When you look at this passage of Scripture, the first thing that you see is Paul saying, all Scripture. Now, I know that some people look at this and say, well, you know, he's just talking about the Old Testament scripture. He's just talking about this, that, and the other. I think we should rely upon the wisdom of the Holy Spirit here and understand that he's talking about all Scripture, not just some, but all. Something else that he mentions here is that it's God-breathed. This, I believe, is the only place where you find this phraseology. And it appears to me to be unique. We can look at it and we can dissect it and we can say that it is breathed out by God. This may give us a little clue into the business of inspiration. While Paul was the one doing the writing here, the message came from God. The message came from God by His authority. It came from God, delivered to Paul by the Spirit. But Paul was able to write it in his own way. And the message came across. And this is what we read. That it was God-breathed. Now, whether that phraseology or terminology or word or words were specifically chosen by Paul or specifically chosen by the Spirit, or that Paul was guided by the Spirit in choosing that, I'm not exactly sure I know. If you want to have a discussion about that, we can. But one thing I do know is that the authority of God is presented here. Scripture, All scripture breathed out by God or divine in origin and authority. I believe that what Paul is saying here is that it's not of human authorship or authority, even though written by men, but it is inspired by God. The Apostle Paul just happened to be either holding the pen or dictating to someone, a scribe, who recorded this. But something else is found here in this passage of Scripture concerning the business of authority, concerning the business of the Scripture being from God, by God's authority, breathed out, as it were, by God. The Scripture is of value to us. Other words that are used are profitable or useful. It is of value to us for God's chosen purpose. If you look at it a little bit further, you see that Paul mentions at least four different things here for teaching. Now, I'm not going to go into the detail here, but of teaching, reproof, correction, training, or instruction in righteousness. And here it is. So that the man of God, so that one can be complete. Now, some other words that you can find here. Complete, competent, perfect, equipped or thoroughly equipped for every good work. This comes from the authority of God. This is not made up by mankind. This comes from the authority of God. God's authority is presented here. When you look at this passage of Scripture, how do you regard it? Do you regard it as the authority of God? I don't know how you look at God and His authority. I don't know if you have fallen prey to the world's view of exalting the individual and essentially playing down the importance of the body of Christ. I don't know how you look at God's authority. Some people have some different ideas. Some people have some very different ideas. But it behooves us to follow the authority of God, to recognize it. Now, one thing I'll say is that God doesn't mind you looking into the Scripture and saying, well, I'm not sure about this, I'm not sure about this, but I am going to continue to recognize God and His authority. I'm going to continue to read and to study until I learn what God's will is. You need only take a look in the Old Testament at the book of Job and look at all of the things that Job dealt with and all of the questions that Job had for God Himself, and recognize also that when God spoke, Job remained silent and he listened and he learned. Give that some thought. Some people misuse and abuse the Word of God. Yes, I did practice a little bit this morning, but I told the class this morning that I knew that Paul was married, even though Scripture says he wasn't. I said, I know that Paul was married, and I know that he had a problem with his wife. His wife's name was Grace, and she was a thorn in the side. And the message from God was, my grace is sufficient for you. That's supposed to be a joke, but anyway, some of my jokes go over real well and some of them bomb. But understand, the Scripture does say in 1 Corinthians 7 that Paul says he wasn't married. (Clears throat) Here's another one. I'll tell you that this is supposed to be a joke before I tell it. So, putting scripture together can be a good thing, and it can be a dangerous thing. Now, I know, Donnie, you've heard this before. I'm going to put three parts of verses together. And Judas went out and hanged himself. Go thou and do likewise, and what thou doest, do quickly. Now, that's scripture. It's all scripture. From three different passages, parts of three different verses. You put them together, and you've got that statement. But you know full well it's all wrong. Be careful. Do not play fast and loose with the authority of God. Do not play fast and loose with His Scripture. It's up to us to recognize God and His authority, and to think very carefully before we're found speaking for God. I read in the beginning to you from Matthew chapter 28 concerning the authority that Jesus has, the authority from God. I read to you concerning the fact that He instructed His apostles to go make disciples, baptize people. I also read to you from Acts chapter 2, verse 42, verses actually 38 and 39, and verse 42 as well. I would encourage you to look very carefully at the Scriptures. See what they have to say. There's Scripture there for us to obey regarding salvation. There's Scripture there for us to obey regarding living day by day for Christ. If we can assist you this day in your obedience, let us know. Let's stand and sing together.